talk about the widow with the two mites. And Jesus talked about her going into the synagogue.
Carry on.
And she came and she offered her heart to God. She offered all that she had. She offered out of her need, out of her desperation. And after he sat down, Mark chapter
12. 41, 42. Go ahead.
And after he sat down opposite the treasury, he was watching how the crowd cast copper coin into the treasury. And many rich were casting much. And when she came, one poor widow cast two small copper coins, which is about a quarter of a cent. Then after he summoned the disciples, he said to them, "Truly I say to you that this poor widow cast more than all those when they cast into the treasury. For they all cast from their abundance, but she cast from her need all that she had her whole life." And when we see that she cast it out of her need, she gave unto God out of her need, out of her deepest desperation, out of her heart, we can see that she was worshiping God, because God loves a cheerful giver. And when we give out of a need, we give unto God and he brings the increase. Because it says when we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. And it also says that even though she gave out of need, she didn't fear. She wasn't anxious for anything, because she knew that her God was the provider. She knew that he was Jehovah Jireh, that he would come through. And I want to just speak to you, if you are fearing God, if you are anxious, that you can't give unto God more and more. Just give, because as you step out into faith, he'll break off anything that is hindering you from giving. Because when you give, you'll be, the spirit of lack will be broken off. Because when you opposite, when you operate out of an opposite spirit, that spirit will be broken off of you, and you can give more and more, and he'll provide. And when we can see in the gospel, God talks about when we give unto him, we don't have to be anxious for anything, not about this, not about tomorrow, not about the clothes we'll wear, not about the food we'll eat, not about the drink we'll drink, because God will provide. Because he provides for the ravens, he provides for the sparrows, he clothes the flowers. So how much more can he clothe us? We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to be fearful about anything, because our God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh, and he is not a man that he shall lie. His word will not return unto him void, but will return with life. For he came to bring life and life abundantly. So I just want to speak to you this morning. I want to challenge you. How much are you giving to God? Are you giving him all that he desires, or out of your need? Are you giving him out of your desperation? Because he'll bless you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Hey, whether we are okay or not okay, whether we are desperate or not, you are still the same God. And we worship you in this offering, in the giving of our tithes and our offerings. Thank you for the strength to make wealth, to fulfill your covenant. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's unfair. You had a celebration while we were away. Our deepest respect to QQ and the kids, and great tour. It's lovely when you send off somebody like that, eh? Just amazing. Praise the Lord. We have a baby to dedicate. All right. We have a combined service here tonight with, if you look at the bulletin, Dr. Charlie. He'll be here tonight to speak. From India, all right? But we have a baby to dedicate, so we'll dedicate baby first, and then hallelujah. Mrs. Smith is very, very happy this morning. All Blacks won last night. We have compassion of those with foreign gods, and hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can line up here, you lot. What a good looking bunch. That's a good looking lot. Praise the Lord. Hey, what a, oh, that's a good looking baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're just going to dedicate baby to the Lord. Amen? All right. Can I hold the baby? I just want to show her off to everybody. Now, you would think that was a psalm on. See? Very, very nice. Praise God. God is good. All good gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Amen. She's got a beautiful smile. I think she's looking at me and she's smiling. She's probably thinking, oh, what a beautiful looking man. Hallelujah. What's that? Oh, did you get your photo, Chris? Oh, sorry, sorry. All right, just get the baby, all right? Oh, all right.
Oh, no, another kid.
Yeah. She's trouble, that one. Don't you put that thing on Facebook. Hallelujah. Are you all right? You look forward to this, eh? Hallelujah. This is your grandbaby? Hey. Number 12. You're blessed, aren't you? Yeah. Hallelujah. You want one of these? Hallelujah. I'm cheeky. What was that, man? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this bundle of joy. We thank you for your goodness to her parents, to her grandparents, to her whānau, in gifting them, Lord God, with this little child. Lord, we dedicate her to you. Set her apart for godly things and godly purpose, for a future that is breathed upon by the Lord. We pray for her parents, Lord God, that they will know how to raise her for the kokos and the mamas, Lord God, that they will raise this little one to be a godly citizen, to be one that will bring glory to your name. Even as they have been blessed with her, that they will bless you with her, Lord God. We bless you as a community of faith, as a community of believers. We thank you that you have added to us value and worth in our lives, Lord God. We honor you today, and we bless you today. We glorify your name in this gift, and we dedicate her to you, to your glory, and the precious name of Jesus we pray. And everyone say, amen. You're clever, aren't you? Eh? Granddad? Hey. She's good looking like you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let me say something about baby. The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And however baby come, they come. Amen. Now, a lot of us, we want to bless our children. We want them to be touched by God. And many of us think, I wonder if God will bless my child. Let me say this. If you know that you want to bless your baby, if you know that you want your family to be blessed, how much more do you think God wants us to be blessed? Because the only reason we want them to be blessed is because we are made in the image of God. God put that in us. And a lot of people said, will God do this? Will God do that? All I can say is, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? If we love that baby, God loves her far more than all of us put together. Hallelujah. And it's our duty to pray for baby, pray for her parents, pray for the grandparents, that baby will grow healthy and well and become a citizen of the kingdom of God, raise a society that is righteous because of godly standards and godly values. Amen. Why don't you give them a great hand? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. She looks lovely in white. Praise God. Give them another hand. Amen. Bless you. Hallelujah. Can my wife come? Come and say hello to the church. Oh, you did. You did. She's already said hello to the church. All right. She can say hello again. There's a mic over there. Can I have my sword?
Good morning and hello. So good to be home. I wanted to come home last Thursday, but we arrived yesterday morning. So I'm grateful to your prayers, as we don't take your prayers for granted. It's amazing how the power of prayer that not only go before you, but it's around us at times that we're away and every time, and enable us and grant us the strength, the answering of your prayers that gives us strength to handle the different kind of weather as well as they are 5 hours ahead of us and a day behind. So it's one of those things that you have to really adjust yourself, your mind and everything to their time and to their weather and as well to their kind of food, as you can see.
I'm all right. Just practicing for the marriage feast.
It's such a not a valid excuse. Okay. Because other people are suffer with it, you know, during the night. Anyway.
I don't snore that much.
I didn't. Did I say snore? No, I didn't. Anyway, such a blessing to be home. So good to be home. And it was really, really hard when we heard about Gina. Such a beautiful person that really challenge and inspire your life, no matter how mature you are or how, you know, what level your relationship with God is. People they are such a gift. If we really embrace each one of us, we are so different. No one person is the same. And when that person leaves for eternity, there is such a space and a gap in your life that that person used to inhabit. That person used to, you used to treasure in your life. And I wanted to come for Gina's farewell, but time and also the responsibility of the network, we were not, or I was not able to come. And also was, the time for her farewell was so close, I couldn't come. And I also, one night I said to the Lord, I really want to go, please. I really want to go. But your will, and you have to. I woke up the next morning, I have felt such a peace, such a tremendous peace that from God that everything is all right. I don't have to come. And so my sincere sympathy to QQ and Asha and actually our network, all the pastors, we're praying for Kilkeo and the family as well as our family. And it was such a great joy to hear how that happened, how you sent her off with such a royal farewell and such a beautiful farewell from this house. So I just want to congratulate you as a family that I heard that everyone will rise up and do everything that is needed to help and to just to express your love for her, and that by doing that you express our hearts as well. So I was kind of thought, how am I going to handle when I go back home? But you know what? Like I said, the prayer is such a powerful. I came back, felt it's like there's no gap, there's no space missing. Everybody is together, and she is such a seed in heaven that we have. And it's such a thing that it's a scripture that I read this morning that although at times that we were going through hard time, but God is faithful to bind us together, to heal us, and to raise up again in another level. So if we keep our eyes focused on God and keep our attention to God, He is able to ride. We are able to get us to ride with Him, ride with the Holy Spirit in what He's doing at this time in His kingdom and in His purpose. So, church, I just want to congratulate you and thank you for your prayers and thank you for standing with us and for us. Amen.
Amen. Give her a hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. She wanted to come. I wish we had a private plane so she can just fly the thing back. But the time and the flights and dates and which just was not possible. But thank you, Pastor Andrew. Yeah, give Pastor Andrew a hand. We value Pastor Andrew and Wendy's leadership in the church when we are here and when we're not here. And it's just great. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to preach on Gina. I'm going to read to you, because last time I shared with the church, I think I spoke on faith and I spoke on giving. And somebody said, shall we give tax to Caesar or shall we not? And Jesus said, give me a coin whose face is on the coin. And they said, it's Caesar's face. And he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar's and give to God what belongs to God. Now, the man that asked the question should have asked another question. What belongs to God? And Jesus probably would have answered, whose face do you represent? whose image is on your face. Because the image that is on your face, that belongs to God. And we are made in the image of God. And we are to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And we are to give to God what belongs to God. And we are made in His image. And Gina lived such a life, and a life of faith. So I just want to talk on faith, on a particular aspect of faith that many of us never speak about. We speak on faith, and we never touch on this particular part of faith, but I want to touch on it today. It'll make sense to you. And it will help you to handle a lot of things that you don't understand. Now, faith, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, I'll just read through, make some comments, and then we can have a cup of tea. Is that all right? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We've shared that in the evening services in the past few weeks. For by it the elders obtain a good report or good testimony. Faith is probably one of the few things or few words that the Bible actually defines. And the Bible defines faith as the substance of things that you are hoping for and the evidence of things that you can't see. The book of Hebrews is about the superiority of Jesus Christ above every other thing and everybody else. The angels were great. Jesus is greater. He's Lord of the angels. He commands the angels. The patriarchs of old were great, but Jesus was greater. Moses was great, but Jesus was greater. And it has that theme in the book of Hebrews. And it goes from chapter 1 to chapter 10, exalting the greater thing about Jesus Christ, that He is the mediator of a covenant that is greater than the old covenant, a covenant that is established on better promises. And it comes from chapter 1 to chapter 10, and to connect what it has already said from 1 to 10, it comes to this definition. The definition connects what has been explained from chapter 1 to 10 to what's going to happen from chapter 11 going onwards. It says in chapter 10, it says, verse 35, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come." He's talking about the promises and talking about somebody that is coming. Hallelujah. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul." Now faith is. Then it defines faith as a connection between what has been described in chapter 1 to 10 to what is following. And then it says this. "For by it," by this definition of faith, "the elders obtain a good report." By the fact that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, by that, the elders obtain a good report. Now, we share this in the past few months. There are two pillars of faith, substance and evidence. Now, faith is a substance, and substance
I went to the dictionary to find out what it was, to more than one dictionary. And I want to read some definitions to you. Substance is the real physical matter of which a person or thing consists and which has a tangible, solid presence. Substance has tangibility. Substance is solid. It says this, the most important or essential part of something. Substance is the most essential part and the most important part of something. Hallelujah. Then it says this, substance is the quality of having a solid basis in reality or fact. So we come to the conclusion that if faith is a substance, it is solid, it is factual, it is tangible, it actually exists. It's the most perfect reality that you will ever understand. So faith is more solid than this, and faith is more enduring than this. Why? Because this will be damaged, but faith will not. There abides faith, hope, and love. Hallelujah. So if faith is a substance, then it must exist. And if it's solid, it has to exist solidly. Except it doesn't exist solidly where you are. But it must exist somewhere. It must be a substance that comes from another world. But the fact that you can't see it, the fact that you can't handle it, does not make its existence disappear. It actually exists. It's more real than you are. And it exists in a realm that is supernatural. You could say it exists in the spiritual realm. The substance of this realm is concrete, it's timber, but the substance of that realm is called faith. Hello? Now, if faith is substance, now let me give you another definition from the Oxford Dictionary. It says, a material of a particular kind or constitution. A material of a particular kind. Substance is matter which has a specific composition and specific property. So substance is matter. Matter is mass. And mass is matter that occupies what? Occupies space. That means faith is matter. Faith is mass that actually is real and occupies space. Now, how does it come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when the Word of God comes and you hear the Word of God, something happens in here. Substance move in to occupy. Hello? Substance, this unseen substance that actually has mass and occupies space moves in and occupies space. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Hallelujah. Then when mass moves in, occupies space, the word is made flesh and dwells among us. Does
Are you okay? Hallelujah. I'll get there. Pray for me. Hallelujah. I says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by this, by understanding and living this way, the elders actually obtain a good report. Now, it says, the evidence of things not seen. Now, evidence means the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition is true or valid. That's one definition. Evidence is information drawn from personal testimony, a document, or a material object used to establish facts in a legal investigation or admissible as testimony in a court of law. You can't dispute this book. Shoot it, burn it, ridicule it. This is evidence of things not seen. It may not be admissible in a heathen law court, but in the court of courts, this is law in heaven. Are you all right? Hallelujah. It says, evidence is proof that validates something not seen. It is proof that validates something unseen. So if you define that verse, if you define faith from what we now know, it will say this. Faith is the mass that occupies space of things that you're hoping for. It is the proof that validates the things you can't see with your naked eye. Does that make it simple? Faith is a mass that occupies space and proof that validates the unseen. You've never seen heaven, have you? What validates that heaven is real? The evidence is here. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now, when you read through Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The substance that framed the world was the Word of God. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, and faith is a substance. So everything that you now can see was made out of the Word of God, was made out of substance from another world. Everything that you see and everything that you can't see. Because you can't see the air, but you're using it. Was made out of the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And God created the heavens and the earth. Now, how do you do that? He spoke. And when he spoke, substance came out and created light when there was no light. Are you okay? Hallelujah. So when you read that, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. How do you do it? Substance and evidence. Even though he could not see God with his naked eye, there was faith, and out of that faith, he offered to God the best offering, and he got killed for his offering. Have you ever been killed for an offering? That means you can actually live by faith and you can die by faith. Many of us think, well, I live by faith, but I don't. If you die, you don't have faith.
I'm getting there. See, just because you're dead does not mean you didn't have faith when you lived. Are you okay? Now, many people say, well, if I have faith, I don't have to work. That's the idea a lot of people. Well, if I work, I don't have faith. I want to live by faith. Listen, living by faith does not mean you don't work. In fact, living by faith means you go and work. Where do you get this absolutely stupid idea? And young people grow up and they read a couple of books about Smith Wigglesworth and about these men and women of faith. Well, I don't have to live by, I don't have to go to work. I live by faith. Well, bless your darling heart and stupid head. Now, the Bible says, even though Enoch is dead, his faith still speaks. His faith still speaks. Still alive. And even though he's dead, his faith's still alive. Even though Gina's passed on, her faith still lives. Hallelujah. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. So one died by faith. One has never seen death by the same thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Now, I could read the whole chapter, but my time is getting on me. Are you all right? And it goes right through. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. How did Noah build a boat? How could he build a boat when he's never seen rain? Matter moved in. Occupied space. Evidence validated the things he could not see. So he moved by faith, built a boat when he's never seen one. The thing so large, you put all the living species inside that ark. A lot of young people growing up and go to school and get educated, which is great, fantastic. But then they ask a whole, why put a dinosaur, how big is a dinosaur put in? Why would you put a fully grown dinosaur in the ark? Huh? Secondly, just to put your minds at ease, Noah could have doubled the species living at the time. They'll all fit in the ark. So just get the thick idea out of your brain that you couldn't fit all. You could put all the species alive twice in the ark and there'll still be space. Hello? Hallelujah. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How can a man just go out like that? Because substance moved in, occupied space. Now, you can go through all of that, but all of those connects with the definition that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But let's have a look at verse 17. Or let's have a look at verse 18 first, or 13 first. These all died in faith. See, faith does not mean you won't die. And when you die, you either die of old age, die of a heart attack, die of sickness. But whatever happens, you can actually die in faith. Why? Because substance moved in. That you have hope. That hope has a substance. and that substance occupies space in your heart. There is evidence that validates the things that you can't see, and you actually move. You can actually be martyred because of your faith. And you can face death easier by faith. Now, in our faith context, in the Western world and the Western church, faith is only faith if it looks like victory from our perspective. And it doesn't look like victory from our perspective, then somebody did not have faith. Are you all right? I don't care if you're the most powerful man on the planet, the most holiest woman on the planet, you are going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So however much you want to avoid death, you can't avoid death, but the only way to face death is by faith. Let me read on. It's about 2:45 in Los Angeles. So hallelujah. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured. Why? Substance moved in, and evidence that validates the unseen. But having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims in Wanganui. You don't need to live here forever. If in this life only we have hope, we of all are most miserable. Might as well go and have a coffee at the coffee house down Victoria Street. Verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Why? Because, friends, substance moved in, and you're looking to this glorious hope, and you're looking to this unseen city that is already validated by evidence, not only of the men and the women of God that have gone on ahead, but by the scriptures. It is written. Hallelujah. Now, you can read right through that, but I want to get to where I said I would. All right? Verse 31:30. By faith the walls of Jericho came down, that they were encircled 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. By faith, they what? Subdued. Now, that's fantastic. That's a triumphant part of faith from our perspective. Joseph went to Egypt. Moses was sent to Egypt with a stick. All he had was a toko toko. And he subdued Egypt. How did he do it? The toko toko? No, by faith. Why? Substance moved in. God moved in. Hallelujah. The author and finisher of our faith is God, and He moves in. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 34. quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in sunder, were tempted, were slain. They were stoned, they were cut, they were tempted, but they faced it by faith. Gina lived by faith. In fact, she was not supposed to have any baby. And she had three babies. And the way she lived was so powerful. It challenged many able-bodied people. I mean, she died and she came back to life. Did you miss me? And then people said, well, now she's dead. What happened to her faith? Nothing. Nothing happened to her faith. She lived by faith. She died by faith, looking for that great city that Abraham actually left everything behind, because his substance moved in, and evidence that validates the unseen. Abraham moved out, going out looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. That city now is Gina's city. Let me tell you, you can't describe Wanganui in comparison to that city. And only a ding-dong will want to come back from that city to here. Why? Because we live by faith. We die by faith. The Lord gave. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Go and have a cup of tea.